This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. Now the story of two strangers. The death of one saved the life of the other. 2 years ago, Mark Dawson, a 17-year-old from Huntington, New York, hoped to join the Navy SEALs. To prepare, he had been training hard at a local pool until an accident ended his short life. Jake Halpern introduces us to the man who now has Mark Dawson's heart.
It's a weekday morning, and the amphitheater at Yale New Haven Hospital is packed with doctors. They're all here for a lecture by a pediatric cardiologist named Charlie Kleinman.
Charlie, it's my honor and my privilege to welcome you back to Yale. Long overdue, I hope today is the first repeat visit of many.
Roughly 2 years ago, Charlie received a heart transplant. And that's the focus of his talk today.
It's been very difficult for me to wrap my arms around this. Theoretically, the idea that someone was going to die so that you could live, to me, seemed a no-brainer. You know, it's not as though I went out and killed the person.
Charlie hits a button, and a picture pops up of a family with a handsome teenage boy. The boy's name is Mark Dawson. He's deceased, and now Charlie has his heart.
I'm ashamed to say that I haven't contacted his family yet, and I will be in touch with them. I just don't have the courage to do it. I did write them a short note. I showed it to Jessica. She thought that once it hit 88 pages, I had to cut it back a little bit.
After he spoke at Yale, I visited Charlie at his apartment in Manhattan. According to his wife, Jessica, Charlie had hoped that certain things would never come to light.
He was adamant about never wanting to find out where this heart came from, who the donor family was. He did not want to know.
But as soon as Charlie came out of surgery, his plan fell apart.
When I awoke and they took the tube out and Jessica was there, and then it came into my mind to ask her, I have the heart of a 17-year-old boy who drowned. What were the circumstances surrounding a drowning in the winter?
Charlie was unconscious during surgery, but somehow he overheard the doctors talking about Mark Dawson. Mark had blacked out while swimming, and by the time lifeguards pulled him out of the pool, he'd suffered severe brain damage. Mark's father, Ray Dawson, recalls the moment when hospital officials first suggested organ donation.
Our first response was, what are you kidding me? Get away from me. You know, that kind of thing. You're not going to touch my son's organs. My son's going to make it. You know, he's going to be better.
Eventually, the Dawsons decided that by donating Mark's organs, at least something good would come from this tragedy. And it did. Charlie Kleinman lived. But Charlie struggled with the knowledge of whose heart he had.
And everyone was surrounding me as though I was the center of the universe. But I couldn't help but think about this other poor family and this poor kid. And I started to have very strange dreams about it.
In the dream, Mark arrives at the hospital, and Charlie, as the doctor, botches his care so he can get the boy's heart.
For me to even dream it and dream being a part of something like that was a nightmare that would wake me up moaning and saying no, no, and in a cold sweat.
It was around this time that Diane Dawson decided to reach out to Charlie. Here she is reading the letter that she sent.
We hope you have regained your health and can enjoy your life with your family. Mark was a bright, smart, strong, healthy 17-year-old boy, and we hope part of him has made you the same in some way.
Then all of a sudden, he got this letter, and it was really, really hard for him.
That's Charlie's wife, Jessica. She asked her husband if he felt up to responding to the Dawsons.
And he said, I can't do it. I cannot do it.
Charlie tried writing back, but the right words always eluded him. Early this fall, Charlie says he was finally getting ready to do it when he received some devastating news. He had liver cancer. I visited him in the midst of his chemotherapy treatments.
The next scan is at the end of next week. I get chemotherapy tomorrow. It's a double dose of medication that's fairly aggressive. And I have a sense, a very crazy sense, but a sense that I've let people down by developing this illness.
Now Charlie grapples with what to tell the Dawsons.
When I thank them, do I tell them the whole truth?
and nothing but the truth? Do I tell them that I now have a malignancy? It was my intention to promise them that I would be a worthy keeper of the flame, if you will. How I would contact them and tell them, thanks a lot, it's been a great year and a half, but I think it's going to be over in a few months. The one thing I don't want to do is contact them and tell them a lie.
Late this fall, Charlie finally sat down to write the Dawsons. He told me that he'd managed to get some perspective on the whole thing, on both his life and Mark's.
I think my parents went to their graves proud. And hopefully I won't be there too soon. But if it is meant to be, I'll be proud and thankful. Not only to my family, but now another set of people who I consider, in a way, family. You know, I'm carrying their genetics, their genetic code in me as well now.
A short while later, the letter from Charlie arrived at the Dawson's house.
Oh, we're checking the mail constantly.
Every day.
And so finally it came, and here's the envelope, and it's on the table, and Diane didn't open it till I got home. And he's saying that he's ashamed that it's taken me so long, and I'm reading from the letter, I'm so ashamed that it's taken me so long to muster the courage to put my words of thanks onto paper. You have not only allowed me to live and attend the marriage of my youngest son.
In the letter, Charlie goes on to explain that he's now facing a serious health crisis once again. Despite this news, the Dawsons remain hopeful.
Maybe my son can save him twice. Save him from heart disease, but the strength that it gave him will maybe save him from liver disease as well. We can only hope.
I mean, I feel like I'm in a missing my son phase right now. I mean, I want him to be here so bad, but I can't change that, you know? So it's very frustrating. But you try to, I guess, grab onto some kind of hope.
I mean, they're keeping him alive, you know, for us, you know, in some small way, in a big way. Even though my son is gone, there's parts of him out there that's still alive and that there's a heart beating in a chest somewhere, and that's Mark's heart.
Charlie Kleinman continues to undergo treatment, and the tumors in his liver have shrunk. He's weak, but still working as a pediatric cardiologist, caring for the hearts of his young patients.
That was Jake Halpern. The story of Charlie Kleinman and of Mark Dawson's heart was produced by Ted Gessing. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.